What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You are listening, you are watching the Complex Sneaker Show. As always, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, my two friends to my right, Matt Welty.
Battered, beaten, but still here.
Still here. To my left, Mr. Brendan Dunn.
I'm here.
We're here. Snowy, snowy day in New York.
We trekked into the office.
The office is basically closed except for this operation.
Quite barren.
But we're here. All conditions gear. We're here.
Like, I feel like some of us
worst
had
fit. Worst fit.
You're but getting ahead of the narrative. You're calling this the worst fit you've ever put on this
worst
podcast?
Worst fit. Nothing. The items separate are fine.
Uh-huh.
Together, not great.
Okay.
But my man showed up in the Brett Favre fit. Look at the Wrangler jeans.
Canadian,
I love this fit.
No doubt.
Look at on a snow day, you decided to flex on everyone?
Showed up in the Toby Keith fit.
For real. Put the camera on. Beyonce dropping a country album. All of a sudden, you're getting.
Yeehaw.
Let the record show, though.
Huh?
Everyone's getting country now. I've been getting country for a minute.
Oh, wow. Look at what made
what's the shirt? What's the t-shirt you have on under this all denim getup? This,
I think it was a little not a dedication to you, but it's Brooks and Dunn.
Dunn.
Okay. Yeah.
Missing the E on there, but I
look at the Wrangler. Are the jeans Wrangler or Uniqlo?
Hey, you know what?
Logo Secret?
Tell us what.
I just leaned into it.
Purple Label-ish with the Logo
no,
Secret?
No, I just leaned into it. If people want to like... Yeah, no, if people want to talk crap and then be like...
No, hey. This is a great fit.
No, it's fun. No, hold on. No, crap. I just leaned into it because I said, hey, if people want to be like... Remember I wore the Joe Fresh Goods, the blue pair?
Oh, yeah. With the jeans.
With the baggier jeans. But I didn't realize if you take any sneaker photo from like top down, if your jeans aren't super slim, people are going to think that they're baggier than they are just because the way they stack.
Mm-hmm.
And that one photo made the rounds.
You got fried?
Like, I don't think I got fried, but
careful.
People just say, hey. Look at this guy in the Wrangler ass jeans, and I was like, hey, you know what? I'm just gonna wear the Wrangler.
The shoe fits.
He has like a Wrangler sweatsuit on right now.
So you said you're gonna lean into it.
Yeah,
but I feel like leaning is not a great look for you right now because your back's a little tore up.
Oh. Yeah,
I had to spot him a little behind the scenes. I basically had to tie your shoes.
But it was such a tender moment before we started the shoot. We were all sitting on set. And Welty said, Joe, can you do me a solid?
Yep.
And this is why at the top of the show you say my two co-hosts, my two friends.
Yep.
It signifies the bond that we have. But Welty said, Joe, can you do me a solid? Can you pull the tongue on my shoes? Welty is so bruised and achy right now that Joe got on one knee.
Threw my back out.
And fixed ever so delicately the tongue on his New Balance 998.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's just the stuff you don't see.
What happened to your back? I mean, we're back, but talk about
the
back.
No, just... Went a little hard one day, and then next day was
in the gym.
Yeah, just was warming up a lift, super light, like 90 pounds, and
work.
No, that's just like it'd be like the lightest weight you'd put on to warm up.
Or and you would, not necessarily.
Most people would. I'm pretty positive, Brendan, that you could lift 95 pounds.
Thank you, friends. Okay. Once again,
and sometimes when your back goes, it just, dude, just one power clean, and my back just said, "Hey, buddy,
we're not doing this today."
Nope. Right. And the whole thing just.
So how many days off now? You have to take some time off. You have to know your limits.
Yeah. And then so I knew my limits and then I took a bunch of days off. Went and saw our good friend Trinidad James.
You went to the pop-up?
Yep.
Wow.
I couldn't make it.
Yeah. He was selling some shoes and memorabilia from Full Size Run.
Wow.
Day's collection.
Did you support?
I didn't buy anything. Okay. But
was he selling from? Full size
just like some shoes he had worn on camera, et cetera. Those Air Force Ones he wore, Brendan, with the light up swoosh.
Yeah, J-Zar Dead custom, right?
Yep.
LED equipment on there. I love that. I actually saw Trinidad this weekend as well. I was at the Pada pop-up for the Marshalls collaboration they launched. This was such a beautiful Saturday to me because I was on vacation last week. I just came back from Curacao enjoying the Caribbean sun. Do I look at all tan?
No, not really.
Not much.
But you're
also like wearing like pants and like, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I'm not a big shorts.
Wait,
wearer.
You didn't wear shorts on a Caribbean vacation?
I wore some shorts, but also I was there for a wedding. You know, I'm not going to show
you
up to
your,
a wedding.
You picture like Brendan like shirtless on a beach with a pair of chinos on.
I don't see him in
you're
shorts
the man
a lot.
Here at all
I don't
denim.
See him in shorts a lot. What I will tell you though,
it's calculated.
You know, this guy. When I come back from a vacation or a long trip, I need 3 days to recover. Mm-hmm. This guy
I was mixy.
Comes off the jet, right off from his vacation, the wedding, wherever he was.
Curacao.
There we go. He hits downtown like he's Michael Rubin at the Fanatics party. You see how many pictures he's in 24 hours?
Abdul.
You would have thought that he was at the Super Bowl at the mixy at the 2 days. One day, he's in street clothes. Mm-hmm. Scars Pizza, I'm sure, was on the itinerary, was it?
We skipped Scars.
Okay. Then the next day, what do you do? A Sunday Run Fun Club with the Nike
old,
Tech?
Old Man Run
OMRC,
Club.
OMRC. You see the hoodie. Make sure you get it in a shot. I saw Abdul, Trinidad came through. Edson and G from Potter were there. Charlie Morgan was there.
Oh, shout out Charlie.
Hanging out with him. It was just a great time. Pauly Cristo was there. I just love these like outside, everybody is there type of moments because so much of the appreciating of sneakers that we do and the talking about sneakers that we do happens on the internet and social media, which is not real life. And that's why I love to be outside and see people and just hang out. You know?
All right, there we go.
It was warm this weekend too.
Yeah, it was nice. It felt like I was still in the Caribbean, but we're back.
Yeah, we're back. We got a lot of news to get to. Where do we want to start? Let's start, right? Listen, his back problems, you being in the street, all great, but let's get down. We got a lot of stuff to start.
Yeah. Wait, can we talk about, this isn't that new. Some of the stuff isn't that new, but what about these Bape Adidas Stan Smiths? Well, do you like these?
So.
Yeah, let's hear.
Let's hear the
let's
the,
hear.
The narrative on it, right? Is okay. That Bape is doing a Adidas Stan Smith in the all over camo. I think it's the first
camo. OG camo.
Yeah, first camo print, which I think is awesome. I know Joe LaPuma used to wear a first camo trucker hat. Or was it a trucker hat?
First camo trucker hat, first camo Bape hoodie all the way zipped up.
We better find the photos for this.
I think there's tons on my Instagram.
But I'm just saying you wore the trucker hat. I remember a bunch like after the Bape era, like in a cool way, like but it wasn't like OG. Joe LaPuma. It was like
a lot of OG.
That's what I mean. Stuff, but you'd pop up like 2016 in the office, like just randomly, just wearing it. Like
yeah.
That's where I remember it from.
Yes,
those shoes got posted online. I posted in our Slack channel saying these are awesome,
or maybe these are freaking sweet. As you say these days,
yeah, freaking sweet.
Dang,
yeah, and. You guys, Joe actually said putrid.
Yeah, I don't like those.
I just think that it's not that interesting to see something so plain in the year of our Lord 2024. I think that it was cool that Stan Smith is wearing the Bape Adidas Stan Smiths in the teaser photos, but also I have a sneaking suspicion that Stan Smith has no idea what a bathing ape is.
But it doesn't matter to me.
Him posting it. Did a lot for me.
It's super cool.
Super cool. The sneaker itself aesthetically is not great.
But Stan Smith wearing the shoe.
You think the sneaker aesthetically is good?
Yes.
In 2024?
Yes. Here's what I would say. The camo, I love. Everyone knows I love Bape camo. Stan Smith's iconic shoe. I just don't like how that camo looks on the shoe. Stan Smith posting with them did a lot. Like, you could say it's a cool project. I just don't like the shoe. I cannot imagine me wearing that, I could imagine it maybe as like on the shelf here, maybe on, you know, next to the Air Force One you designed or something like that.
Yeah. Either way, I think it's cool and I appreciate it through the lens of remembering being super fanatic about pretty plain Adidas shoes in general.
But this is not a plain Adidas.
Would you wear them?
Let me finish.
Okay.
Don't throw your back out.
No. Being ecstatic about what some would call plain Adidas shoes in there not being that much hype swirling around those sort of sneakers. So getting a hype version of those shoes from time to time when those are the sort of models that you prefer to wear is a nice deviation into more of the hype beastie on like your own terms.
Yeah.
That's what I appreciate about it. And then just seeing Stan Smith hold the shoes and wear the shoes.
I love that.
If I could get Stan Smith in a full zip-up hoodie, that might change my mind a little
that.
Bit.
I love that, of course. I just wouldn't wear them. I do see what you're saying. Basically, sometimes you want to pop out a neck breakers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
something like that.
But on your own terms. On my own terms, yeah, where I don't feel like, oh, I'm buying the one hype shoe that everybody's going after. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not throwing on a pair of chunky dunkies and feeling out of my element. Mm-hmm. I still feel like I'm wearing something cool that aligns with what I want to put on my feet.
Okay. Yeah,
that's all.
I do think it's funny, and I appreciate it on this level of just brand wars where Nike is involved in a lawsuit that they brought against Bape for Bape making knockoff Nikes, and at the same time, Adidas is making collaboration sneakers with Bape. I think that's funny, and I can enjoy it on that level.
And it's even funnier to me, too, because the photo with Stan Smith where he's sitting on the bench wearing the shoes, he has, like the super Adidas performance logo, like, tennis hat on.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. More tennis news. The one and only Andre Kirk.
Oh.
Agassian.
Yeah.
Andre Agassi.
Yes.
Unveiled that the Air Tech Challenge 2 Hot Lava is coming back, a shoe that has been out several times.
Would you say he's your dream interview?
Yes.
Like number one.
Yes. He's eluded me. I was supposed to interview him. I was supposed to interview him, I believe, in 2015 or 2014 when I believe him and Roger Federer, I think it was. Maybe I'm getting
popped out for a Nike event or something like
they
that.
They played, it was like a Nike court event where they played tennis in the streets of New York City.
Yeah, yes, downtown. I remember that. Yeah.
And I was supposed to interview him. I showed up and then.
Curved you?
You had an interview scheduled?
Yes. And then I'm like, hey, where is he? And I'm waiting in line because there was like a bunch of press media people. And then it got to the end and my name never got called.
Oh, just like basketball tryouts, huh? High school basketball tryouts?
No, I mean, not salty. Like that. It was like set up through Nike. So, and then I asked them, hey, what happened? And they never gave me an answer.
Nike, what happened?
Yeah. Either way, Andre Agassi.
We'll get him for you.
It's really my dream interview.
Okay, we'll get him for you.
I would love to have him here on this podcast. Yes. Not, you know, I don't want to be selfish. I would love to share that moment with you.
No, for sure. Just whatever, but not whatever. But onto the shoe, he unveiled that there's an aged version of the shoe.
Big NCB. Shoe.
Oh yeah,
huge NCB shoe.
I wouldn't
surprise. Big Rich A shoe, big NCB shoe.
How strong the reaction to that was? That seemed like it went off on the internet.
You were surprised at how much people care about Air Tech Challenge 2 Hot Lava Retro.
Yeah, it was cool to see him wearing it. Steffi Graf, his wife, was also wearing Nike, switched up from the Adi.
I'm happy that sneaker is coming back because I feel like that's one of those classic Nike retro 90s sneakers that still looks good and that they haven't beat to death yet.
Yeah.
And is on a good cadence of being around for a bit. You know, early 2010s, we got a lot of Air Tech Challenge 2s. We got the US Open pairs, the Grand Slam pairs. They did a lot of it back then, but then they pulled away and there hasn't been too much of it in the past 8, 9, 10 years. So the sneaker is still somewhat sacred.
I think it came out in 2019.
Is that right?
But it's five years recently.
Okay.
5 years ago.
And if it did come back then, and I appreciate you fact-checking me as always, like they didn't beat it to death then. We didn't see a ton of it.
No, and it's crazy because that's 5 years ago, and it feels like everything pre-2020 is like another lifetime.
Different era.
So it's like, those came out.
Yeah.
Correct.
Pre that. So it's one of those shoes for me, at least, where it's like, you know, I don't have a ton of Nike shoes anymore, but there's a certain few like OG models that, you know, infrared 90s, white cement 3s, where it's just nice to have that one Nike shoe that you know you can put on and wear and just feel cool in it.
Especially with the type of outfits you're putting together these days.
Are you kidding?
I need so badly.
Can you imagine him at the US Open in this fit with the Tech Challenge?
No, I can't because in my mind's eye,
he would have
the cutoff on.
He did the denim short.
Would you cut the sleeves off if it was in the summer with this fit?
Cut the sleeves.
Would you wear the jorts?
No.
Premium Pete, you know, I used to wear jorts. Premium Pete always used to say no jorts, but would you wear them?
No.
Okay.
But still, I want to see the Matt Welty outfit with the Air Tech Challenge 2 Hot Lava Retro.
It's 11-11.
You made a wish?
I'm making a wish.
Will you please get that shoe when it comes out in 2024?
Yes, I 100% will. A lot of people in the comments were actually hoping that Nike does a solid and releases the apparel along with it.
Oh, wow.
Because I feel like the shoes are iconic, like truly iconic.
Yes.
And the apparel is truly iconic.
Yeah. I know our friend Kevin Loyster is super big into that. Yeah. Our friend and coworker Zach DuBasic has some OG Nike Air Tech Challenge apparel. I think that stuff is always relevant. But again, bring it back in a conservative way. A part of me just got
a little bit excited too because Andre Agassi commented on our Instagram.
Oh. So you thought you were getting close.
Not even getting close. It just got me excited in general.
I just made the wish at 11-11 that you get the interview.
We get. Or can we have it? Again, can we? I want to have it on the podcast.
Sure. That'd be fun.
Having Andre Agassi sit right here?
Of course. But falling into the theme of the day, being a good friend. If you
getting
get
on
it,
his knees for you.
I would love to have him here.
And also, let's just make abundantly clear, why you appreciate Andre Agassi so much.
Oh, I don't think I've ever even, like, it's not that it's a long story. No, it's just like the brief instance of it. So growing up, was adopted as a kid. I don't think I've ever said that on camera. When I was 14 years old, I got like the paperwork. I saw the paperwork for my adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, your father is of Armenian descent. That's why I talk about it. And that's people wonder why, oh, your name's Matt Welty, but you say you're Armenian. Why do you like, what's, people are just confused about the connection. So I find out that when I'm 14, growing up in New Hampshire, there's not a lot of Armenian people around. It's a very niche, like, culture, community.
Were you immediately on a journey to try and discover what
that was?
I
didn't know much about it. It's not like, hey, you're Italian or you're Puerto Rican or you're German, like these like big ethnic groups that there's an instant connection to, you know? And so this is pre-Kardashian era, and Andre Agassi was one of the biggest Armenian celebrities in the world, you know, in a truly iconic sports hero. So as a kid who didn't really have much connection to a heritage that I'd just been plopped on me in my teenage years, he was someone that I looked up to, and that's the real reason why I want to link
never,
with him.
I never knew that story.
Oh,
let me tell you something.
What?
I'm going to fight for that fucking interview. I'm not even joking. Straight to camera.
Yeah.
Now I'm on it.
Yeah, that's the story behind it.
Okay. Yeah.
Did that immediately attract you to his sneakers?
Did you go on it?
Oh, yeah, I love that story.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it my mission to get you that interview.
I remember, so I was super hyped on them, and then it was 2007 when Nike retroed the Air Tech Challenge 3, the white, the tennis ball.
Yes.
Which one was I wearing, the black and blue one, forever?
That was the Tech Challenge 2.
Okay.
That was the U.S. Open pair, I believe.
I was wearing.
Yep. But Tech Challenge 3 came out, and it was just disappointing because I really wanted that shoe. I was super hyped. I went out and bought it. But that's when Andre had gone away from Nike. Mm-hmm. He was sponsored by Adidas at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they retroed the shoe, and it didn't have the tennis ball on the back. And the color was off. Like, the lime yellow on it was like much more of just a yellow than a highlighter color.
Not quite right.
Still have the shoes, but...
I can picture a young Matt Welty on Nike Talk refreshing thread after thread to try and get the info on where to buy a pair.
Oh, those are hot.
I'm on it now.
Should we talk about the sneakers we're wearing off feet?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I pulled a switcheroo. This is a stormy day, snow swirling in New York City, but I am wearing the Nike SB Dunk Low J-Pack Black and Blue.
Great shoe.
Sneaker I wore for the Lupe Fiasco episode of Full Size Run. Actually, I was wearing linen Air Force Ones all last week on vacation.
You.
Thank you.
Saw him.
Thank you. And I wanted... What?
What's the word?
What? What's the
Not
word?
Not a thought.
Elegant? Doing too
he
much?
He has something... He has premeditated...
Do you believe
that, Wilson? Sleep on him. Don't what? Sleep on him with the linen Air Force Ones.
No.
He knows what he's doing. I always say that.
No, and
he knows what he's doing. The linen Air Force Ones.
I wore linen pants to the wedding.
No, the linen Air Force One was cool too because I remember you ended up... And correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. You ended up getting that shoe when it got... re-released via Kith
Miami.
Miami.
I bought a pair on eBay.
I got the Futura box.
Sorry, but when that shoe came out,
for
whatever reason, in that moment in sneaker world, that was a pre-off-white Yeezy, or not Yeezy, but like sneaker hype, you know, where things hadn't really taken off yet. And that shoe kind of like went under the radar a little bit.
Yes, I think partly because Kith had like 2,000 pairs, I was told at the time, and they were only available at Kith Miami. People weren't feeling Air Force Ones that much at the time. So the shoes were really slow to sell out. And I think they were relatively accessible there, and you could just go and buy a pair again because they were the only people selling them. So you could get them on eBay for relatively cheap. And I bought a pair for $250 or $270 or something like that.
But awesome shoe.
He doesn't get caught slipping.
If you had to,
he doesn't get caught slipping. Me, if I step out today with this, if I go to Chick-fil-A down the block like this, someone sees me, I'm slipping.
If you had to pick though, if you could only wear J-Pack SBs or Royal Ones for like not the rest of your life,
but you could only have access to one of those shoes.
Yeah, which one would you go for?
It's an easy answer.
I'll take the SB Dunks just because I think they're more comfortable, even though the Royal Jordan one is going to last longer and you can wipe it down.
I was wrong. I would take Royal ones. I like those though.
Hey, you know who had a question? We've talked about this on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're saying, hey, maybe I don't want to wear a high top, whatever. Your friend
Sebastian saw that.
Are you too old to wear Air Jordans?
Well, he said, I have one pair of Jordans. Where do you think he got those? I think he bought them on sneaker shopping. He bought the Chicago ones and I think the Concord 11. So I think those are the pairs that he was talking about wearing. We need Sebastian to bring them out.
Okay.
Bring them out.
And
bring them out.
He was on a podcast with Rich Eisen.
Yep.
And he said, is he too old to wear Jordans? He's 50, which we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Not are you too old to wear Air Jordans, but it's just like you reach a certain point where you're like, hey, a certain shoe that I was super hyped on 8-9 years ago, hey, maybe it's not in my
may not make that I much would sense for where I am right now.
I'm gonna text Sebastian, pop out in the Jordans.
Okay, I have to complete this tangent I was on.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's on me. I wanted to wear the linens. Also because the retro's coming back out and I kind of want to get my time in with them before the new ones come out.
Does that stink when it's like, oh, you held onto a shoe for so long?
No. It takes the pressure off for me. That's why I wore them on vacation. I was like, you know what? If I beat them up a little bit, it's okay. And I might even go with a 9.5 in the Air Force ones going forward. But I realized
Wait, you
that,
went from 10.5?
No, Air Force ones always 10.
Okay, but you were 10.5 in sneakers.
Right.
We convinced you to go down to a size 10.
Yes.
And now you're 10, so now you're 9.5. And
I think just the linen Air Force one, the last retro, felt good on my foot. And also I liked putting it out there because maybe people thought, oh, he has a new pair. It's not the new pair. But I'm like, maybe for Air Force ones, I could go 9.5. But anyways, okay. I noticed that on the Fat Joe episode of the Complex Sneaker Show, the most recent one, I wore the linen Air Force ones. For that reason, I said, no, let me do something different. That is my long explanation of why I'm wearing JPEG Nike SB Dunks.
Thank you. I'm doing the ACG Zoom Air AO. All conditions gear.
How are they for the conditions?
Because it's snowing. Because it's snowing. Now, I wonder if this is a hiking shoe or it's good for the snow. But I looked.
All conditions. Those are both conditions.
I looked. It says.
Wait,
where is it?
SCG, some conditions.
Wait, drainage. It has a little. The drainage.
So you're
staying
dry? How do your feet feel?
They feel great. They feel great. Snowflakes funny story about
around,
these.
You don't feel a thing.
No, funny. I feel like if there's a lot of slush, if the slush gets in here, just these, let's get a close up. The
you're in a yoga pose right now. Turn the camera
on. I'm flexible,
on.
Okay? Look, very flexible. Have I ever, you can't do that. I mean, not with your back, but you can't do that in
do
general.
What?
Can you put your whole thing behind?
So just put his whole.
Can you do both?
Oh, that was tight.
Can you do
tight.
Both?
You're looking tight. Like Dal Zim right now.
That was tight.
But I think the slush gets through.
How was the mesh upper in the snow?
Oh, fine.
Really?
Yeah, didn't feel anything. Funny story, though. These were one of the classic pandemic buys where I bought multiple pairs and I was just buying, I wouldn't say dumb sneakers, but I was.
Well, you were big on the Mountain Fly.
Yep.
You're a big Mountain Fly.
Multiple
That's a big
pairs of those.
Zach the Basic shoe.
And big.
Poor Zach. He said, are they hard to get on? I was like, no, they're super easy. And then.
Big JLP shoe.
Very tough to get on, but undressing these for today, there was a Jordan box right next to it. Like, oh, what are these? Buried.
Mm-hmm.
Opened up the Jordan box. Didn't look at the label. Sometimes we want to, don't kill the suspense. Fresh pair of Black Cat 4s. Fresh pair of Black Cat 4s.
No better feeling.
Oof.
You know, wasn't a fresh pair of Black Cat 4s?
Saw that.
Oh, yeah.
We had talked about it here on the podcast, and I just kind of wanted to talk about being Black History Month. Wanted to talk about the Black History Month 3s, which I think is a awesome shoe. Some people commented that it's one of their favorite Black History Month sneakers that Nike ever made. Just to give it a little bit of shine or light. And someone... I mentioned the Black Cat 4s because they're not similar shoes, but they look a little
kind
similar.
Kind of in the same vein.
Yeah. And someone goes, hey, I bought my son a pair of the Black Cat 4s, and he wore them every single day as a fry cook at McDonald's. And that shoe.
Yeah. Well, you know
fried.
What?
Fried.
Those shoes, I have
beaten
a pair.
And battered.
I have a pair. I've said it on this podcast before. I played softball in them.
Mm-hmm.
Caked on mud. For whatever reason, probably because they're all black, just feels like you could...
But
put them in situations you shouldn't.
It's funny, though, because I know, Joe, you are always towards being like, hey, shoes always look better with wear. That's like kind of one of your mantras, right?
Correct.
When it comes to shoes.
Correct.
Black Cat 4's biggest big JLP shoe.
There is.
But then we see the one pair where...
that was too
took
much.
Took it too far.
But the Endless Summer 4s that I have, the Endless Summer 4s.
Famous.
The Endless Summer Black Cat 4s are beat to hell, and I'd still bring them out.
Yeah. But eventually we got to put those in a museum.
I
imagine.
I want to put this out here because I think that this would be a funny one. No,
Because when we say to make Photoshops, people actually do them. Can someone take a picture of the movie, take the poster from the movie Endless Summer, mm-hmm. where he's on the beach with a surfboard?
Okay.
And can you please Photoshop Joe LaPuma's face on it in a pair of Black Cat 4s where it says Endless Summer?
I like this.
I would love to see it.
we could print the poster out, put it on a set or something?
Yes.
Or maybe we can't clear it.
Not much to say. Friend of the program, Ronnie Feig, Kith Frank Lloyd Wright, 998s.
With the tongues looking just right, because your friend Joe LaPuma.
Thanks to Joe.
Fixed them up for you.
Tongue fuck.
Yep.
I'm tongue. We're all kind of tongue.
Jimmy.
Just a cat though.
Yo, I don't think we ever even talked about it on
we
here.
We have so much to talk about. This is going to be a fun
No,
day.
It's already fun.
26 minutes
one
in.
One of the funny moments in recent memory was a Robert Downey Jr. tongue effing.
Oh, wow.
Tongue effing.
Wait, we talked about him.
The lightning.
Didn't we talk about
it? No, not on the podcast.
The tongue was out like this.
I didn't see that.
This or like this? The lightning's.
Yeah, hit the lightning force on.
The tongue wagon like Jim Carrey in the mask.
It was like he was wearing the Ottos. Remember the Kanye Otto?
Yeah, the Otto Matsumotos.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to get him on Sneaker Shopping?
We've been trying. He'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I totally forgot about that photo, but
yeah, amazing.
I want to sprinkle some leaks in. Can we do that?
Yeah.
On here, we like to whine and opine, but
Leak Looch?
Yes, me. It's him. You know, we like to give you our opinion on things and talk about news, but also we like to break some news. The other podcasts don't give you that, but just so you know, this is rumored stuff. We like to give that disclaimer as well, where it's single source. We don't have it totally confirmed yet, but just some of the whispers we're hearing about upcoming sneakers. One of them, I'm hearing that there's a new Kobe Nike Air Force One coming.
Okay.
I'm sure people will be happy to see more Kobe sneakers that aren't strictly Kobe sneakers.
I know it's not going to be,
mm-hmm.
but part of me hopes that it's in the vein of that 2007 pair from the 25th anniversary.
Is that where they had all their faces on the side of the shoe?
There's a Kobe pair where it's like a tan. I believe, I may be getting it wrong, I believe it's a tan, almost like buttery, nubuck-esque suede,
mm-hmm.
Kobe's face on it, and then there's like aquamarine, turquoise.
Who else was in that pack?
2007.
I want to say Dirk was in it, but I don't know if Dirk had an Air
Force. Wait, did they have the players on this?
Yeah.
I think Dirk was in it.
Yeah? Maybe like...
I want to look that up. I'm going to look it up.
Do you know
how the hell would you remember that? He's right.
But do you know how absurd...
Dirk Air Force One.
Do you know how absurd that is to have a...
Dirk Nowitzki Air Force One.
Do you know how absurd it is to have an Air Force One with Dirk Nowitzki on like this on the side?
This
sorry
is
to, sorry to bury the Kobe League. No, I just... I remember that because that was when the Air... When
is this it?
Yeah. Or that's the Air Force 25. That was when Nike did that Air Force 25.
Yep.
Shoe where it was the 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
They had a huge year plan for the Air Force One. It didn't really like pan out the way that people had hope.
This is 2007.
Great logo. Look at the
2007.
Logo.
The biggest moment of it all, though, was the Kanye, Nas, Rakim, KRS-One classic music video.
Yeah. Talk about it. Yeah. Didn't Kanye have that Nike jacket on? That's a jacket they need.
But either way,
back.
Kobe Air Force One.
Yeah. Again, rumored. Don't have it super confirmed. New Kobe Nike Air Force One with a Python swoosh.
There was also, I believe, a GS pair years ago that was like a white, yellow, purple with like the Kobe tri logo in the corner.
We know already that Cortez has more Nikes in the works. There's the
Huarache.
Three pack of Nike Air Trainer Huaraches.
I think I have to, I don't know if I said it on here, but I almost have to. Not apologize, but just correct myself because I thought, you know what, if they're going to be doing that shoe, I didn't see, hey, that shoe being popular in today's day and age, but saw some of the photo mock-ups with the black, with the camo and the gum on it, and I'm like, looks kind of cool.
The early CADs that we leaked, them based on that?
Dirty work leaking the CADs. Dirty ass.
But looks cool.
Dirty.
Looks cool.
Here's some more leaks. The rumor is that there is another Cortez Nike Air Max 95 coming.
Okay.
Now you have my attention, says JLP.
Did you see Clint hitting the crossbar and playing soccer in the Louis Vuitton Air Force Ones?
No, I missed that.
Should have posted that.
I missed that. Another one I want to touch on. This has been out there a little bit already about how Nike is going to be doing more with Stash in the future. And some people said that there's a Stash Air Max 95 retro. I think we already spoke about that not being a one-to-one retro in the works.
Okay.
But I've also heard that maybe the Stash Air Force One is coming back
around.
You
wore recently.
Yeah, you know,
He's calculated.
I would,
and I don't know this again. I would let's love put the disclaimer.
I would
again.
Love the 95 though, because
the 95.
There's a Stash 95 coming for sure. I just don't think it's an OG.
Do we think that is a top five Air Max 95 of all time? It might be.
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say yes.
Me too.
I think so, but it's tough. You know,
so good.
I think it'll look like the original, but have some tweaks. And again, Air Force One, I'm here for it.
Also, the other shoe too that I feel like gets swept under the rug a little bit in Stash's sneaker legacy in the same time period that you can't wear anymore, that I would love for them.
BW. Yes.
Stash, classic.
Nike Air Classic BW.
Shouts to Bob Parisi, who I used to work at a Finish Line.
Yeah.
Okay? Looked Irish, was Italian. Bob Parisi from Staten Island. My mom used to make him gorgonzola pasta. Great dish. Bespoke dish. Big Air Classic BW guy. He was my first manager at Finish Line.
Yeah. I would love for that shoe to come back. Another one. I'm hearing holiday 2024, and I think we can all be excited for this. OG Spiridon Retro.
Woo! You love that.
White, sport red.
Big, what shoe? A friend of ours.
Chris Schoenberger?
Oh, maybe. Big Ronnie Fike shoe.
Okay, yeah. And you
said
what?
It on this podcast.
Let's check me if I'm wrong here.
Okay.
Because, like, can we take a little bit of credit for this? Because I think when we had Ronnie Fike on here last time, I was talking about how it'd be good for a Spiridon Retro right now, that the time is right for it, and that I wanted to come back, and now we're hearing that maybe it's come back. Can we take any credit for that, or should we just leave that one alone?
No, but
damn it.
When he says no, you know.
When he's not taking credit.
When he's not taking credit, we really can't.
It all depends on the timeline, though, yeah, sometimes. Sure. You know, we have to, like, think about
it. But if it comes out for holiday 2024 and we set it in the middle of 2023, that's about 18 months.
Sometimes that stuff does happen, you know? Where we like we'll like talk to someone about a shoe, and then next thing you know, like a year and a half later, you're like, "Hey, that came out, Air Max Deluxe."
but I'm just happy if it is indeed happening. Again, all the stuff we're talking about in this little segment, we'll put it as a rumor.
Friend of ours of the program, Ian Stonebrook, had put it out there the other day because I had mentioned everyone's talking 20th anniversary of College Dropout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just wanted to highlight that moment where Kanye wore the Air Zoom Miler.
I remember that shoe.
In the workout plan video next to Anna Nicole Smith, also rest in peace. And it's funny because during that period, everyone thinks Kanye, you know, with some ones that's clean in a shirt with a team, you know, Air Max 90s, that was kind of his vibe at the time. And he's wearing a performance Nike running shoe that gets sampled by Nike recently, an Eliud Kipchoge line, but it also looks similar to the Air Zoom Spiridon. Mm. What's the one that Stussy did recently?
Yeah, recently.
Spiridon Cage 2?
Looks exactly like it. Didn't they do a Livestrong version of that Miler back in the Finish Line days? I remember that. Pretty sure.
But pretty awesome shoe. And our friend Ian Stonebrook is like, hey, with all this like mesh talk going around, Nike should have brought back the Zoom Miler or the Spiridon, because those shoes really speak to
OG Spiridon?
Yeah, really speak to the trend, but also like core Nike like brand.
You better not give him credit for it over us.
Who, Ian?
No, he had said
I give credit to Ian. You know why? The little Dickie T-Mac.
Oh, yeah.
I got it from an Ian Stonebrook interview. I hit him.
Always.
Shouts to Ian.
Nike.
Happy belated, Ian.
Happy birthday, Ian. Nike Dunk Low, What the Code.jp. This is a pair where they mashed up a bunch of dunk colorways together. Those should be coming back out. This year's Nike Air Max Day shoe.
DN?
Well, the DN, yeah, but also the big bubble Nike Air Max 1 86 white and blue, which so far, okay, cool, but it's going to have, I'm told, the Volt accents on it.
They did that.
The 2014 Nike Air Max 1
actually
Air Max
like,
Day
but I actually like that shoe.
No,
everyone hates that shoe.
This is everyone right here.
I know we had the whole Air Max Day discussion, and we're like, hey, you poo-pooed the combo before you had it. But hey, look, that one, and Nike's done some cool shoes on Air Max Day. I think
100%.
Yeah, there was that one period where they were bringing back all the Atmos stuff, and they hit with the Sean Weatherspoons.
Classic. Oh,
big Air Max.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, huge. They were really in their really sweet spot.
Yeah, but that 2014 pair, I do not like that pair at all. Why would you put Nacho color?
I like that shoe.
They used the neon that I used on my Air Max 95s
a little
bit.
Was such...
Those Air Max 95s might look a little bit like the upcoming Cortez ones, but we'll talk about that later.
During that era, though, Volt was like the Nike brand ethos.
Yeah, like
that was almost as at that moment, Volt was almost synonymous with Nike as a swoosh. You know, like
it's like this. I can't remember the full story, but back in the day, Nike, like the one of the technologies was just putting a swoosh on a shoe. It's like that same era. Like one of the Nike technologies, in addition to Lunar and Flyknit or whatever, was just making a shoe Volt, and somehow that would make
and
you,
also during
jump
that era
faster.
If you want to talk big JLP
let's
shoes,
hear it.
Which
let's
I
hear
always
it.
Do.
Yep, let's hear it.
The re-release of the Atmos Beast Air Max 95s.
Oh, huge.
The Animal.
You wore those a lot?
Once a season.
I want
once
a I want
season.
Atmos Air Max 95 Biotech Retro. Oh. Or Air Max 1 Biotech. I remember voting for those in the Bring Back program and praying that we got them. But we got the other Atmoses, which are great as well.
Those are great. Also, the same vein as the, I always mispronounce this, Urawa.
I know the shoe you're talking about.
Kashima Antler 97s.
I had the 95s.
Talk about it.
I had the 95s.
The gold ones?
Yeah.
But the black pair with the cement print in that turquoise.
Yep. Those are good.
Those are good. Some more news. Kai Cenat Nike deal. How do you guys feel about it? I love it.
It makes sense for Nike. Yeah.
I'm happy.
I'm not thrilled by it. I know that there's been a lot of Kai Cenat hate in the atmosphere lately after the whole Grammys thing and the whole Killer Mike thing, Travis Scott thing. Look, I can understand why Nike would want to align themselves with Kai Cenat if they give him product. I don't think it's any product that I'll be interested in just because I don't watch his content and it doesn't mean anything to me. Not saying it's good or bad, not making a value judgment on it. Again, I think it's a smart signing for Nike, but it's not for me.
I love it.
I think that that's the same way that I felt on it, where it's like, hey, I don't have any sort of like ill will or just like, oh, if you watch Kai Cenat, you're not cool, you know. That's not how I view it. It's just, hey, you know, it's like I see the stuff online from time to time. I don't watch his streams, but I don't watch much streamers to begin with. I just don't like take the content in, so I don't really have like you said, a good or bad about it. It just he's doing big things, so it makes sense that Nike would sign him. So
I love it. New generation. I think that they're the new entertainers.
Yes.
I think he's highly entertaining. Had such a great person. You know, sometimes we talk about personal experiences with people. Yeah. Such a great personal experience with him filming Sneaker Shopping. So happy for him. Also like that Nike, where I think back in the days, even like, oh, they signed an entertainer, a musician.
Yes.
It was like, oh, wow. Now they're not just signing athletes. To see them signing a streamer, come a long way. I like it.
Yeah, it makes
sense.
Happy
for him.
The Kai Cenat thing was interesting, too, because it happened around the Super Bowl. There are so much interesting sneaker news to come out of the Super Bowl this year, and we usually don't look at the Super Bowl as a huge sneaker event. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the footwear brands always try and come there and make an imprint and have their biggest stars wear something that's important for them to push. But All-Star is the real sneaker holiday.
A week before All-Star, the brands were already permeating the big events.
Yep.
Kai Cenat to Nike, not an official signing, but are we getting to
Jay-Z to Reebok?
Are we getting?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so.
You throwing a rock?
I'm not in agreement. So Jay-Z wore, at the Super Bowl, wore the 2003 OG colorway of the S. Doc Carter Reebok.
Yes.
Or RBK sneaker, right?
Huh? Important distinction.
RBK, not Reebok. RBK. But yeah.
Wait. Make that distinction for people.
Just at the time period, it was, I mean, it's Reebok, but Reebok had kind of relaunched themselves as RBK, and RBK was much more of the like entertainment, streetwear, Pharrell, 50, et cetera.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments. Keep me honest. I don't know if you guys know this, but I remember that the S. Doc Carter Finish Line didn't get them for some reason. Maybe in my town, it was a Foot Locker exclusive. I just remember walking past closing and walking past a Foot Locker, and it was the Jay-Z in the closet with all the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, damn, we didn't get them. And I remember Rudy Calderon of
Yao Ming
had the black colorway. Had the black colorway of the S Dots. So such a nostalgic moment for me. And then when I saw it, when I saw him at Jay-Z at the Super Bowl, I immediately grabbed it, the photo, and then we zoomed in, and I thought maybe it was the Gucci shoe. And I was like, oh, he's wearing the
Gucci shoe
that he sampled.
Yeah, based off Gucci Tennis 84.
Yeah, that's what his Reebok shoe is based on.
But it wasn't. It was the RBK. And you got some information on it?
Yeah, we have the background on it. So Reebok made around 12 pairs of new Jay-Z
Which is
sneakers.
Crazy because it means they would have had to have the molds and everything just like ready to go.
They made these just for Jay-Z. That pair that he was wearing at the Super Bowl, when you first saw Jay-Z wearing Reeboks, you couldn't tell whether it was an original or something new.
We had the whole discussion. We're like, hey, is the tongue tag yellowed enough for it to be
old? We were trying
to
do the forensics. This is a new pair. They made him new pairs.
Is it weird that that's like my favorite stuff? Is that
no?
Do you guys love like that slack on the Super Bowl night when we're trying to figure it out? I think either Riley or Zach put like the tongue from old eBay. That is like the shit that I
like. The super nerdy, like
yes, is it super nerdy? I love that.
I love that.
Mahomes throwing the ball all over Brock Purdy. I was looking at the slack for S dots, but also. Like this guy who wears the linens, who I said always calculated. Uh-huh. Jay-Z is the most calculated.
Yeah.
So 12 pairs, interesting. A new batch of S-dots, but to wear them on the Super Bowl where you know that your feet are going to be photographed, where you know that we're going to have the boneless wings, but also be looking at the footwear that people are wearing in our Slack, you know it's going to make news.
Am I biased here? Because I felt like this was the most exciting sneaker moment to happen at the Super Bowl the whole weekend. And this is coming from a small brand, Reebok, who obviously I like Reebok. Obviously, I like Reebok. Sorry,
Reebok Purdy.
Leave it in. Nice. But like you don't expect Reebok to show up to the Super Bowl and have something big go on, especially when they're going up against Nike renting out the Sphere and Adidas has a big Patrick Mahomes ad on the Sphere. We should get the podcast on the Sphere. Can we do a podcast?
Yeah,
on the
just
Sphere?
Our mugs. It's all I need.
But Reebok shows up and does this moment that just cuts through and is exciting
but
in a way that
it was awesome because it actually connected to sneaker culture.
Yes.
I feel like all the other brands come there with their initiatives and things they want to push.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've said it out there that I think the Air Max DN to me is just like...
Give it time, but I hear you.
How many
Air Maxes that dropped that we immediately loved? Not a lot.
The thing is, with Air Max
DN... But I see what you're saying.
I don't hate the shoe.
Yeah.
It just doesn't excite me.
Tyson, I was wearing it.
It just doesn't excite me. There's like a total difference between being like, hey, that shoe's totally fine. If people want to get it and wear it, totally cool. And then actually being excited about something and like can't wait till it comes out. I just don't get that feeling from that. So for Nike to kind of base their whole Super Bowl around that and then Adidas to be like, hey, Pat Mahomes is getting a new sneaker. It's like, well, I don't give a crap about either of those things.
Doesn't connect with me.
Okay. So to your point, I was like wrestling with my mind. Mm-hmm. Is this as big of a moment that I think it is? I love that you thought it was like the biggest moment. I felt that way, but I was
most
like,
interesting for sure.
I was like, well, do I care about this more than other people? It was,
I think so. It was I think big. We do care about it.
That was so nostalgic. I was waiting. I put it in the Slack and then I was waiting. It was like 6:05. Is it up yet? 6:20. Just to see the reaction. Then I commented Hove dug in the crates. He confirmed that he didn't.
Yeah.
New batch of pairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those weird things where you're like, hey, we all think it's awesome, but then like if the shoe gets the official re-release, obviously it's going to sell out and everything, but maybe there's a generational gap between younger people not being super excited about it.
Would it sell out?
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying that. It's just like I just don't know how like Gen Z is how excited they're going to be about a Jay-Z Reebok shoe.
Do you think a Jay-Z Reebok retro would sell out? You would buy a pair. I would buy a pair.
See, we would all buy pairs, and I totally agree on that because we were around when it first happened. You remember the shoe. You're excited. But
mixtape.
But
the commercial with 50 Cent.
The thing about it is that model.
So I sampled the old Gucci shoe. If you're upset, sue me.
So when you talk about
from the old Gucci, if you upset, then sue me.
What was it?
Yeah.
What did he say? Okay, sorry. Not
when you talk about like retro product and things that people are gonna get excited about. That like early 2000s Reebok stuff hasn't really like floated around in like the atmosphere of like collectors wearing them and being part of like what. I'm not saying it's not part of sneaker culture, but you don't go to Flight Club and see like the old 50 and J shoes on the shelves. Although Pete Davidson did wear the 50 Cent G units on sneaker shopping. So I just don't know where it's like maybe there's a whole new crop of people who that they didn't experience that when it first came out.
And it doesn't necessarily
mean
anything.
Can you imagine that?
And especially it being Reebok, it not being Nike or Jordan.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Yeah. Can you imagine 50 and Jay-Z in a new Reebok commercial in 2024? Can you imagine that?
It would
put
be incredible,
that on the Sphere.
But
not going to happen.
So the thing we have to ask too is Jay-Z showing up in a pair of Reeboks to the Super Bowl.
And he has a Puma connection.
He does have a Puma connection, but I feel like no one really understands the full connection.
So I'll say this, and again, maybe I'm biased, but to me, Jay-Z popping out in a new pair of S. Retros is more exciting than anything he's ever done with Puma. I think that the whole Roc Nation Puma affiliation
has been so rough.
It's reaped rewards for a lot of people around him, but I don't think it's been that interesting. You know, Jay-Z, Puma, you've never seen a cool shoe come out of that or they've a never cool really, campaign.
They've never even done like sneakers.
Yeah. But the thing for the me is
by Mosh made customs, yeah.
But maybe Jay-Z doesn't care that much. But also it's like, does Reebok have the resources to do a deal with Jay-Z? I really don't think so.
I feel like it's tough because it's like, how much do you have to pay Jay-Z
exactly
to get him to do something?
And I don't think Reebok has that.
But he doesn't do things just to do them. That's why I'm wondering.
That's the other
thing. That's why I'm wondering. He never does things just like, oh, I'm going to... It's always calculated.
But the thing is, to me, it wouldn't be about the money for Jay-Z, I assume, because I don't think Reebok has enough resources to actually pay him what he would want to do a retro sneaker or something like that. So it has to be about something more. And I do think that Reebok wants this to happen. You know, Reebok CEO Todd Krinsky, who we've had on this show, he was there at the Super Bowl. So I suspect that Reebok is trying to make something happen. Whether or not they can get Jay-Z on board is a totally different conversation.
Just like the ends justify the means sort of thing, where it's like you have to pay, I don't know how much, say you have to pay Jay-Z like
$5 million, or even on the more low
than
end.
That. I was thinking you have to pay Jay-Z like $50 million or something like that, and then you make a couple lines, a couple runs of retro shoes. It's like you're obviously not going to recoup the amount of money that went into that deal.
But you know, I hope it happens. Adidas, it's funny. Adidas, you could maybe say were the closest to quote-unquote winning the Super Bowl since they had the single biggest athlete in the on the winning team, Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes.
But it doesn't translate the product.
Exactly. You know, he has a new signature shoe with Adidas, but we don't...
I've never seen anyone own or wear that shoe.
Yeah, and also... There were some high-level flubs to me that felt so typically Adidas and
like
were also very entertaining. So they come directly from Adidas CEO Bjørn Golden.
Oh,
taking a picture with Kanye?
2 months. Before Bjørn Golden took the photo with Kanye, we'll get to that. But
take the picture with,
Adidas CEO Bjørn Golden posts a photo on his Instagram during the Super Bowl in a suite with Lil Baby's there, James Harden is there, Bjørn Golden's son is there, and next to his son is Travis Scott, wearing
a
brand new colorway. As far as I could tell, a never before seen colorway of his Jordan brand Jumpman Jack
red,
signature
red
shoe.
Red suede with
red,
the gum sole.
All red, almost like the Red Octobers.
And it's such a funny moment of Adidas' CEO accidentally doing a promo shot, teasing a photo that got reposted a bunch of rival Nike
and
their biggest
anyone?
Endorser with his signature shoe on.
Did you talk to anyone from either side of how they felt about it?
No.
Okay.
No, but it's just like, it's just so funny. Like, did you not think about that or just crop the photo a little bit to not show the Nike sneakers?
Probably didn't think about it. Just, what do you think about it?
It feels like he's a little detached from, I don't want to say reality, but just kind of.
Certainly this level of sneakerhead nerdery. Yes.
And then 2 days later.
And then Kanye West posts a photo with Adidas CEO Bjørn Golden, which I don't know what factors go into Bjørn Golden's decision making, but if I'm him, I'm not showing up in a photo with Kanye West.
Those things are, those Super Bowl suites, they're almost like a social experiment, you know, of like the mixer of like who
just everyone
gonna,
could go.
You're Lil Yachty with Tim Cook.
Yeah.
Or even just, I mean, the most famous one you saw over the weekend where it's like Ice Spice and Taylor Swift.
Yeah, they showed up together.
Yeah.
But I just think that like there's been so much back and forth with Adidas and Ye and the Yeezy business. Is it on? Is it off? Are we going to sell the shoes? Yeah. Are we going to not sell the shoes? There's so much fatigue.
Kanye had the new album come out, Vultures,
drop the pods price.
Yeah, but it's just, I think it's a bad look for Adidas to intimate on any level that they're getting back together with Kanye. And I don't think that's what this photo means, although a lot of people will interpret it as Adidas CEO Bjørn Golden testing the waters for a return of the Yeezy line. I really don't think that there's that much subtext to read into it. But I think even for him specifically, it's a bad look because if you remember last year, he went on a podcast and kind of defended Kanye amidst all the anti-Semitic comments and said, oh, he didn't really mean that. And then a week later, he had to apologize for a comment. Yeah. So he's back in this back and forth. It just seems like showing up in a photo with him. It's like, what are you doing?
He just seems just like a
little bit clueless, a little bit out of touch.
The more that we see it, the more he just seems kind of like a flubber, you know? Like he just
what?
Like he flubs.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. I thought you meant like the
No.
Robin Williams, rest
in peace. Yeah. it's interesting, too, and this is an idea that I just wanted to talk about with you guys. Travis Scott wearing, you said, the Red October-esque Jumpman Jack shoe. Yeah. I think we had discussed a little bit. I put it out there saying, hey, looking at that Jumpman Jack sneaker, I don't think it looks like an Air Yeezy, but you can clearly see how the Air Yeezy at some point made this shoe possible.
You went a little viral over that.
But am I wrong in thinking that...
Some people agreed, some people didn't.
I don't think the shoe looks one-to-one.
Yes.
But I can just see how, and especially has the strap in the middle of the foot, just how they were both the biggest entertainers on Nike at the time. They take some bit of Nike's DNA archive, mix it up in those some sort of cross-training sport fashion shoe that's not really a sport shoe, but it's not really just a lifestyle retro. It just, it comes from like the same playbook.
You're totally right. Yeah. I think on multiple levels, the lineage of the Air Yeezy line informs the lineage of Travis Scott's.
It couldn't happen. I don't think the Jumpman Jack happens the way it does without the Yeezy. It's like it's just the descendant of it. You know, it's not the one-to-one copy, but it's just, it's its relative, you know?
Those moved.
Yes.
We're not surprised, right?
What? Oh, the first launch of the Jumpman Jack.
How many shoes did they make? You know, you don't.
Yeah, we'll see if
any
he can
shock,
really...
but any shock drop too. Did you hit on the Bred 4 shock drop?
No, but I want those. I'm getting a pair.
I don't know. Also,
put in ice cold takes that I said. Oh, I don't think I'm going to get a pair. Definitely getting a pair. Might see me at All Star Week. Might see me at All Star Weekend
a
with
pair.
Them.
Are you getting a pair?
Just one, I think.
You're going to be in Indianapolis.
I will be in Indianapolis.
I'll be there. One other thing I want to say while we're talking about Travis Scott signature sneakers is if there is indeed an OG Spiridon retro coming, it makes total sense because the other Travis Scott shoe that we know is coming, the other signature shoe, that Sharkadon thing, has the Spiridon tooling on bottom. So, of course, if Nike has that back in the mix, it makes sense to bring out the OG Spiridon.
Oh, yeah. I would be very hyped on that. And there's like a lot of colorways, too, that have never been retroed on the Spiridon. I think it's like the Concord, the purple one.
I just want the OG white sport red because I never bought that shoe before.
Big JLP shoe, right? Was it, or what am I bugging?
What was it?
Didn't you have?
He had a black and gold Spiridon that he wore a lot, right?
No,
or maybe really? Triple black.
Maybe
I think you had a Spiridon.
Maybe who knows at this point?
We're talking about all the brands at the Super Bowl. Nike at the Super Bowl didn't feel that impactful. It felt like the biggest thing they were there to do was promote the Nike Air Max DN. You had Kai Cenat showing up at the DN.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing they had was they called me USHR.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's Jordan brand. We'll get to that for sure.
Wow. But look at him.
Beautiful performance.
Wow.
But it just like, yeah, Air Max DN, like that's the big thing. You know, I know they were rushing to get Nike CEO John Donahoe a pair. Look, if you want Kai Cenat in the shoes, cool. That makes sense. If you want Travis Kelce in the shoes, cool. That makes sense for a different audience. But getting John Donahoe to co-sign it is not what you want for this
so
shoe.
That's so interesting to me because there was that Business of Fashion piece that came out where they were talking about, you know, maybe some disgruntledness internally at Nike where the brand feels like John Donahoe being a tech CEO is just kind of like pushing the brand through the algorithm and Nike's kind of lost its innovative touch over the years. And you look at the Air Max DN and I was thinking about it on the train today in all my bits of pain, maybe it literally hit a nerve
that I was like, nerves alone.
You know what? That looking at that shoe, especially the way that like they've highlighted the heel bubble and some of those super, I don't want to say Photoshop, but like really fake beauty shots, kind of looks like an AI sneaker a little bit.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Am I?
I know what you mean.
I know it's just a funny thing.
I know what you mean.
But they're saying
that's where you were going.
The brand getting pushed through the algorithm. They're doing a shoe that looks a little AI-esque instead of something innovative. And then you're
like
using
Mid-Journey cooked
and
it
then
up.
Using people who
putting
are
mid like and mid journey.
GPT'd it?
Who are using people who are super big on the algorithm, a la Kai Cenat.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah. We not this
You got the tinfoil hat on a little bit, but you threaded the needle, and I respect it.
Touching on that article, you know.
Yeah.
The thing that I would say, the biggest takeaway is that, and this isn't news to anyone, but we almost like joked, like, oh, I used to say, I was in Florida, the on capital of the world. Mm-hmm. It's not a joke anymore.
Yeah. Those brands have eaten up a significant amount of Nike's. I'm not saying they're taking out Nike. They're not going to be bigger than Nike.
No, and the article states that. But performance-wise,
they're true contender, like
challengers
in the performance sphere. Which, you know, the article also mentions Dunks and Jordan 1s moving heavily, which they were. But Nike always, the DNA is performance first, performance first. Where we would look at Ons and Hokas, oh, they're all over, they're all over. And we'd just say it. Now you're seeing literal graphs of how big these competitors have gotten in the performance.
They've really like cemented themselves. They have strong brand identities. They have strong product. Whether sneakerheads think it's cool or not, but they clearly have good product in speaking to a customer very directly, where it's like, okay, when people are like, hey, is Adidas going to overtake Nike? Or here's Under Armour. You didn't really like know where they were headed sometimes. And it's like, you clearly know where On and Hoka are headed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're starting to play in the fashion sense where you thought those brands would never be lifestyle cool. And you're just like, oh.
Well, let's see. Let's see. Because here's what I would say. Performance-wise, they're crushing. Let's see if they could go to the fashion side or the aesthetic side. That's a challenge that they're going to have.
Yeah, and also I think sometimes you have to put these numbers in perspective where if Nike's growth has slowed, yes, that's bad.
Still.
But Nike is still a giant company, and it's harder to grow a company that's that big versus you see big growth from a smaller brand like Hoka or On. It's so much easier to grow off of a smaller base.
Well, I mean, things that we see, it's like how hard is it to go from 1.9 million Instagram followers to 2 million versus how easy is it if you're running a brand to go from 50,000 to 350,000, you know?
So basically Nike is still dominant and it would be wrong to say anything otherwise. It does feel to me like there's a little bit of a lull in innovative new product. There's so much retro out there. And I do think this comes to an extent from the shift in priorities in the John Donahoe era that the Business of Fashion article plays up. I just think that there's a different feeling there now. That's the sense that I get when I talk to people, that the old Nike is gone and that there's more bean counters in place.
The thing that we talked about, not to touch on it too much, but I think it's a direct correlation when we talked about Flyknit and Flyknit being this new innovation.
That was mentioned in the article too.
Yeah, but being this new innovation that was able to spread across the brand, you know, a la like something like React, you know, where it's like you take a technology and you're able to spread it across the company and get people excited on it. When the new release or the new savior for the company is the Air Max DN that doesn't play on anything new, or it's not really like an expression of
innovation.
What Nike,
forward thinking,
what Nike does best. It's just kind of like a rejuggling of
something that we've known about for
But also, they don't look at the DN as a savior.
No, but I think that I think you're right. I don't think that Nike is touting DN as this high level innovation performance product. But
I think they're doing, but they're looking at it as like this brand, this product is going to do significant business.
A pillar, for sure. But at the same time, I do think if you're thinking about what's the like newest, most exciting product right now, you do kind of go to DN and then you think, oh, that's just Air Max.
What if the DN in a year, we see it on Instagram working out like the 270s?
Then hey, if it happens, it happens.
I still don't think that satisfies what you really want from Nike innovation-wise. I think the last good product in that lane is Super Shoes, is Breaking 2 style carbon fiber giant shoes for running marathons in. We need something more from Nike. It used to be on this Olympic cadence where you got Flyknit 2012 around the Olympics. This is an Olympic year. We would love to see some big new sneaker technology.
Imagine if the Air Max DN is the podium shoe at the Olympics.
I could very easily see it being the medal stand shoe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
One of the interesting figures that the BOF article mentioned is that Nike's projected sales growth is just 1% for May 2024, which is their worst performance in 25 years outside of the 2009, where the economy was just terrible in general, and then one of those pandemic years where everything looked shaky. So again, Nike is the biggest brand in sneakers, and especially when it comes to sneakerhead collecting as a hobby, which is what we talk about. You know, we look at our year-end list, and I do agree with Welty's frequent take that there are more varied sneaker tastes than there were before. But also when you get down to the year end, I looked at the last 2 years, it's still like 8 Nikes and 2 other shoes. So
yeah.
I think within our small subset of footwear consumption, it's going to take a lot more for Nike to fall off, mm-hmm. if we want to call it that. But I don't know. Can you say Nike's falling off or just that they're slowing down?
I think that there's more competitors in a category that Nike prides itself on.
Running.
Performance. Innovation. I think, like we always say, you always thought, like, you walk out in Times Square right now, you see tons of On.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that without getting into sales figures, or you just gut check, wow, these shoes are all over. These shoes are all over. Now you're seeing that there's actual obvious growth for these other companies, but they have a long way to go. Nike's a juggernaut.
Of course.
Nike's a juggernaut, but there's been changes in, I leave it up to maybe the audience. How are the Jordan 1s selling that 2 years ago in the pandemic that resale stores were just getting every different mm-hmm. color? I couldn't even keep track.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep track, and they were moving. How that
but
slowed
down.
How long
down. Can you rely on retro
That's what
product
I'm saying.
Like that?
Well,
I just
That's
think,
what I'm saying.
I just think the industry as a whole, you know, and we've talked about here endless times where it's like there was a certain like 5 year span where the industry just depended on Air Jordan 1 retro and Yeezy 350.
Mm. Yeah.
That was like the bulk of like going into a resale shop. And those are like the two in Dunks.
Yeah.
Those three shoes were just, those were sneakers. If you were into sneakers, you were into those three shoes. Now it's like, that's not the case anymore, you know, where it's like the mold has been broken open.
Yeah.
There are other competitors out there. And I remember back in the day, there was this brand, I think it was Para. I think a Para made a t-shirt with this brand called Rockwell,
mm-hmm.
and it was sold on Digital Gravel or something like that. And I always thought about this sentiment that they said in the t-shirt said, the fear of not wearing Nike. And I think that that's real for a lot of people back then, and even up to current day, where it's like, hey, a lot of people are just like so programmed that like if I'm a sneakerhead,
and we're guilty of it too.
Yeah, I wear Nikes. Think about it. What's the place where a lot of us found sneaker culture?
Nike talk.
Yeah. You didn't come on there to like, there was a New Balance thread, but you came on there because you like Nikes, and being in the Nikes made you a sneakerhead.
Yeah.
And
Nike leaned into that and capitalized on that, I think, in a way that other brands weren't in the early 2000s.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, 2010s, you know, you did see little sprinkles of a Ronnie Fieg A6, mm-hmm. a Concepts New Balance, but it was still like niche, you know?
It was sporadic.
Yeah, and an A6 Gel NYC or 1130 isn't going to be on the same level as Air Jordan 11.
No.
But
no,
you can be in the sneakerhead discussion now wearing those shoes and nobody's going to like question you about it or just change so much.
Let me ask this. If we think that Nike is slowing down or falling off or however you want to depict it, do we think that this lull has Nike further behind than it did around 2016 when Adidas was really crushing it?
No.
You think that Nike is in a better place now than it was at the peak of mid-2010s
I think
Adidas
those are,
power?
Wait, 2010s?
Adidas.
No, I think those are two different questions.
Okay.
I think that Adidas...
I just say it because that was the last time when we saw Nike looking
actually,
shaky. Pre-Off-White,
when I thought about that the other
Kanye
day.
Arrived and Ultra Boost this, Yeezy 750, Yeezy 350, NMDs causing stampedes at malls.
I thought that was bigger than this challenge. Could be wrong, but I think Yeezy Boost, Yeezy to Adidas during that time where everyone was wearing Ultra Boost.
And Under Armour was still kind of hot.
I think that was bigger. That was more of a competitive...
Wait.
Market to Nike than this is right now.
Damn, you just validated my whole argument from a couple weeks ago where
about
I got
what?
Roasted for saying that
the Yeezy one
that everyone was on Adidas for a minute.
No one said that.
What I didn't roast you for that.
Neither did I.
Remember we had the whole argument
about the Kanye Yeezy one?
About the Yeezy 2?
No, Yeezy 2. That's not the same argument.
I'm not connecting
He's saying,
the dots.
No, the argument was if the Yeezy 2 was the number one shoe of the year, which I still think of.
Oh.
I'm talking about the pot.
It's like, damn, you're
no,
just,
we
just validated
no,
the whole
we
argument?
No, but I think that Boost Yeezy to Adidas moment was more of a threat.
Than this is now.
Here's the thing, though. That Boost few years, not Yeezy, didn't last that long.
Yeah.
these companies,
well, they ran out of
these companies have maybe the trajectory to last.
The smaller ones, the Ons, the Hokas.
On.
Or even you just see like, not to just like always hop on them, but I feel like the biggest difference is that I know that New Balance isn't in the same spot that Adidas is, but there was kind of this thing where it was like, okay, Adidas had their moment, right? And every single year they were going to come out with like a different, they're like, oh, we need a different shoe. It was Stan Smith. Then it was Ultra Boost.
Big
then,
franchise.
Then it was NMD. And then it was EQT. And then you're like, oh, but EQT didn't hit the same as whatever. And then you got to Derupt and all this other stuff that like none of it took off, right? But New Balance has gone, okay, it's the 990 V4. Okay, now it's the 990 V5. Now it's the 992. Now it's the 993.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the 2002R. Now it's the 1906.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait.
A lot of models.
But like each year you think that like, okay, this model got kind of played out. What are they going to drop next that's going to take off? And it doesn't really feel like it's tailing off.
Yeah. I also think that there are non-product reasons why Nike could be challenged. I mean, look, job cuts are coming at Beaverton. Yeah. And that's something that people are worried about. But, you know, talent is leaving anyway. And Nike wants everybody to come back to the office. We're in this new environment where people expect to be able to work remotely and live where they want to. And not that many people want to live in Portland, want to go to Beaverton every day. And Nike has this big push to bring everybody back in office. And I think things like that is going to make it harder for them to retain talent and be a world-class company in terms of design.
I mean,
it's going to be harder for them.
Not even going there, and we can go on to this, but I just remember like when we went to Portland recently for Bima's thing, and I spent like, what, 3-4 days there? And I'm like, this is the most miserable place.
Hate from you. I'm not going to take that.
No, it's one of the, it's one of the worst places in the country.
No, I won't allow that. I won't allow that.
Last thing we got to touch on.
Yes.
There's so much. Oh, yeah. I could go on about this for so long.
Well, it's up to you.
No.
Could we talk about the Usher 4s?
Yes.
Usher 4s. Another Super Bowl moment.
But this one, I think,
said there was a lot of sneaker moments.
This one's a lot more interesting.
Very interesting.
I don't want to say this is interesting, more interesting than Jay-Z, etc. From like a strictly sneaker. It depends where you come at. Because some people, like we said before, oh, is a Jay-Z Reebok going to sell out to a new audience? Well, it's like an Air Jordan 4 is a bigger shoe than a Jay-Z Reebok.
Absolutely.
It is what it is.
On every level.
So Usher comes out, does this super mega performance, changing outfits, doing his
flawless.
Did you throw the skates on to mimic the
I don't have any. but comes out in a pair of silver Air Jordan.
Chrome.
Yeah, chrome, silver color. Because he has, people know in the past, Usher, great relationship with Jordan Brand, has this whole line of gold.
Yeah.
Air Jordan PEs, which are insane.
Ridiculous footwear.
Air Jordan 3, all gold. Yeah. Air Jordan 11, all gold. Like,
yeah, when I asked him about on Sneaker Shop, I was like, how'd you get them? He's like, not everyone has Jordan on speed dial.
He Trinidad James them, all gold everything.
Yes.
But he comes out in a silver pair, which is clearly a nod to the gold on the Usher design language.
Yeah, but I think it's also meant to look like the Vince Lombardi trophy, the Super Bowl trophy. It's got the U on the back.
Yeah.
Very cool.
To me, it just felt like, okay, he has the gold ones, now he has the silver ones.
Yeah.
It's based off of the military blue 4s, which the OG pair is coming back.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
You didn't see the shoe?
I did, but I didn't make that connection. I made more the connection that he's into metallics, and it was just
But it's also the military blue 4. It has the blue hits on the
color blocking. Is it?
Yeah. So that shoe, like a la Eminem wore the fire red 3s with the Eminem Slim Shady thing. That was the shoe that was also re-releasing that year for them. So it's like kind of like a pre-hype moment for a retro that's going to be coming later on.
Makes sense.
With the Usher on the back. But we're like, hey, is this a PE?
Is this a custom sneaker?
And then the shoe surgeon posts the shoes online with the briefcase.
The briefcase with the handcuff.
Imagine running off with that.
No, he had the security with him.
It was a confusing moment.
It was confusing.
We couldn't tell for sure if Jordan Brand made the shoes, if the shoe surgeon made the shoes, if it was some mixture of both. And it turns out the answer is that Jordan Brand designed the shoes, but the shoe surgeon, Dom, produced the shoes.
Yes.
Jordan Brand couldn't get a full pair done for Usher in time for the Super Bowl because partly the Lunar New Year will always slow things down in Asia where Jordan makes their shoes.
Got it.
And so they tapped Surgeon to finalize a full pair. I think that maybe Jordan Brand could only get the one side of the shoe made or something like that. So they said, hey, can you help us out with this? Can you make these sneakers?
And they have
for
domestic
Usher?
Factories where they can just make it here.
Yeah, right there in LA, cook something up easy. They're pros at that. I think this is an awesome look for the shoe surgeon and for Dom.
Definitely.
I think this is a bit of a weird look for Jordan Brand if you can't make that sneaker in time. And I know there's a bunch of factors that play into
it. It was just
it.
Confusing messaging behind it because at first we were like, okay, he's wearing the Jordans, but then we saw this shoe surgeon post them and we're like, okay, he's wearing customs.
Well, right. Have we ever seen Jordan, Jumpman, repost any of the canary off-white ones? Have we ever seen they reposted these?
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. Think of how many designs Shoe Surgeon has done that are takeoffs of very popular Jordan models.
Yeah.
On my show, I talk about it all the time. They've never reposted it.
They don't really co-sign it.
What's the difference here?
The difference is here that he worked with them on the project.
But it's also, I feel like it's much different if you're Usher in the sense that you're on the biggest stage. He comes out in that custom off-white suit.
Yeah.
And this isn't and obviously shining. This isn't meant to be slandered towards Shoe Surgeon at all. But it's like there's a difference between you're on the stage and you have Jordan Brand make you a PE 101 sneaker to wear for your performance and coming out in a pair of customs.
Totally.
Those are two completely different. Like to the average person watching the show, they don't care, you know, but to the sneakerhead audience that you're trying to tap into doing this, the 101 PE is infinitely cooler and more memorable than a custom shoe.
Even though the custom's still a 101, but that distinction is important.
What does this mean going forward?
Are they
going to work closely together?
I mean, they've done it in the past where there was that moment, I think it was 2018, where LeBron broke the 30,000 points mark and they had the gold pair of LeBron 15s that Shoe Surgeon made for him.
Yep.
And again, I think this is always a good look for the shoe surgeon or any customizer who gets to make a special pair for an athlete or an entertainer who's on a huge stage like that. But the question for me is always, how is Nike not able to do this? We know Nike has more resources. I guess they just aren't as nimble as these smaller creators. But to me, if I were LeBron, if I were Usher, I'd be confused as to how that shoe wasn't ready in time or they didn't put all their brilliant design minds together to make it happen.
It's also like a big moment for not your ego, but like, hey, getting the true 101 design for you to wear on the stage, it's a huge status symbol, right?
But I don't know if Usher cares. I don't know if LeBron cares.
That's my take. I bet Usher doesn't care that much.
I don't know.
It's still special.
Some people maybe do, though, you know?
I bet we care. I bet, like...
We certainly care infinitely more than Usher or LeBron James.
Okay.
To me, it could be just as like, this is the... Not costume design, but this is like what I'm wearing. You know?
Yeah. But when again, looking at it and then seeing what they had done in the past, you know, with the Eminem pair,
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. It just looked, just looking at the product, looking back at it, the more that we were thinking, like the more I was just sitting there staring at the product and the photo he had, or the video where he's like looking at it over through like the window. I was like, it didn't look like his work, like in design language wise, you know what I mean? Like looking at it, like he's typically known for like taking a retro shoe and like putting high end fabrics on it and like Python, etc. And then seeing the flip, like the chrome flip on a military blue, which is a shoe upcoming in Jordan's retro
lineup
range that they want to promote with the Usher logo replacing the Jumpman on the heel. I'm like, it just kind of, you're just trying to figure out like who's the artist behind this, you know? And it just like, looking at it more and more, it just pointed to this is something that Jordan Brand.
Sorry. Is that Jordan Brand calling you right now?
Sorry, it's a spam call.
Cool shoe, cool moment, cool look, weird execution from Nike and
weird
Jordan
messaging.
Brand. Yeah, but good Super Bowl overall, sneaker wise, and I guess game wise as well. I took home some money from the betting apps.
It was a snooze fest for
overtime
for the first game half, and then it got great.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't think people are going to stick around for 50 more minutes of X's and O's.
Here,
so. We're taking next week off, right?
We will be.
We'll be gone for 1 week, back to next week. I think that's the general cadence we're on this year. It's kind of like 5 episodes here, 1 away. So
especially with travel, we'll be at All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
Hope to see some of you there.
Have you guys been to Indianapolis before?
I've never been to the state of Indiana. No offense to all the good people there, but I I'm like, what's happening there? What is?
Yeah, I think it's my first time as well.
What am I looking for? Fill me in if you're listening to this. If you're watching,
I think it'd be more hype to go on in the peak era of an Indy 500 than going to All Star Weekend.
I can do that.
To wear that fit to it.
Oh yeah,
ready to go.
Yeah. All right, everyone. This has been the Complex Sneakers Show. We hope everyone has a great weekend. Please like, subscribe. We will see you in 2 weeks. Our producer is Jillian Hardman Webb. Our supervising producer is David Matthews. Audio editing done by Haley Choi. Research and graphics from Sean Villavicencio. The Complex Sneaker Show is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.